The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Morning. We're a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to nurturing the spirit and transforming the world. I'm Preston Lutwiler, past president of the Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning, wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender, identity, or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. If you're visiting us today for the first or second time in person or on Zoom, realize that our services vary considerably week to week. So if the service this week doesn't appeal to you, please come back again at least one more time and give us another chance, or check out a few of our archived services online to get a flavor of the variety of our offerings. Our service this morning is inspired by the autumnal equinox. It's this year, falls on Saturday, September 23rd at 2:50 Eastern Daylight Time, if you want to be exact. Animals, plants, and ancient humans have evolved to take cues from the cycles of the sun and moon, which we now understand are controlled by the orbit of the moon around the earth and the earth around the sun. The rhythms of the natural world have inspired many stories and myths. Religious leaders became the makers and keepers of humans with religious rituals they tied. In the northern hemisphere, the autumnal equinox winter. Anne Rostowski has prepared an autumnal altar in the middle of the sanctuary, and she'll explain it and invite you to bring your offerings to the altar. Now, the Hebrew or Jewish calendar is based on the lunar calendar, which does not mesh very well with our solar Gregorian calendar, so the dates of the Jewish holidays appear to jump around. This year, Rosh Hashanah ends on the first day of the Hebrew year 5784, which happens to be today, September 17th, on our calendar at sundown. Our moment for all ages today will be two short videos of the blowing of the shofar, a ram's horn, which ushers in the Jewish New Year. After the moment for all ages, Anne Rostowski will conduct an appreciation ceremony for our children's faith development teachers before we send the kids off to class. And Sherry Milk will then talk about the mission and significance of Rosh Hashanah. Bring us back to our autumnal altar. Anne Rostowski will describe the pagan equinox holiday of Nabon. And there are many connections to Unitarian Universalism in the Advent season, and we are coming to people. And we're talking about some of them, particularly the date of September 19th, which is pretty obscure to most people, but it's important in the history of Unitarian. So now, Susan Weston here, we read our chalice for having words, our eyes, our success. Our gathering today will be Vern Stern. It was by the birds.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time for love, a time for hate. A time for peace, I swear it's not too late. If you run out of room, you can use the side pages too.
This is our opportunity now to pause.
Thank you. We have a moment for all ages. Because the kids are good. They might want to stay back there because they're going to see something on the screen. And what it's about is, as Preston mentioned, we are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year today. And oftentimes, the rabbi throws the shofar, which is a lamb tune.
The sound of the shofar. The Hebrew word shofar comes from the word lishaper, which means to improve ourselves. So every time you're hearing the shofar, let's try think about one area in our lives that we can improve. If we're hearing the shofar for the whole month of Elul, imagine if we can focus on 30 different concepts within ourselves. And then we can enter into Rosh Hashanah, invigorated, inspired, and ready for a new year. Have an amazing day.
The blowing of the shofar is another commandment. This is the center mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is usually made from a ram's horn. So growing up, I grew up Reform, and it was just like the main event of the service. Even when I was a kid, there was a special service for blowing the shofar for the kids, and I was so excited to hear it. I mean, how weird is this? The day is kind of boring. And then all of a sudden, someone comes out with an animal horn, and they're blowing it, and it's like amazing. It's the primal scream of the soul that we have. So I just like close my eyes when I hear the shofar, and it's just like the most amazing sound and the perfect sound for the new year. Shana tova,
shana tova. What an RE this year. And so kids, could you come up and help me hand out these gifts to people? And we are going to have a responsive reading with everyone. I will read the original words, and then you will read, is this one?
Yellow has one for Gina. That's right. Special delivery for Gina.
May I declare, could you come on up too? I'd like to introduce you.
Teresa Adams and
what some people thought many times, but you're all appreciated, and I want you to know that. So we're going to read a responsive reading by William Ellery Channing about religious education. If you could read the bold lines. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own.
Not to be able to see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with our own.
Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs.
Not to bind them by ineradicable prejudices to our particular sect or particular notions. Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish spiritual life. Now, Preston later will be talking about William Ellery Channing, I believe, when he's talking about the transcendental. And now, the children.
I have one more gift to the This is a gift certificate from the congregation to Ann for the bookstore in Providence
Town
Center.
Oh, thank you very much.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be working with your children. I really enjoy it, so thank you. And now we can send them off to their classes. So go
now in peace. Go now in peace. May the spirit of love surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go.
And now Sharon Milkey will be talking with us about Rosh Hashanah.
Good morning, I'm Sharon Milkey. Rosh Hashanah began at sundown on September 15th, and Yom Kippur begins at sundown on September 24th. All days on the Jewish calendar begin and end at sundown. And the holidays fall on different dates each year, because it's determined by the phases of the moon, just like Easter. Rosh Hashanah is very easy to describe because it is a Jewish New Year. Yom Kippur is always 10 days later. It's known as the Day of Atonement, and it's the holiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar. These 10 days are known as the Days of Awe. It's believed that judgment on each person is pronounced on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not made absolute until Yom Kippur. The 10 days are therefore an opportunity to mend one's ways in order to alter the judgment in one's favor. On Yom Kippur, you pray to God asking for forgiveness for your sins. You typically fast, having no food or drink for 24 hours. Prayers are known in the synagogue 3 times that day, morning, afternoon, and evening. Some people say that it's to keep you out of the kitchen while you're fasting. You should reach out to people you owe an apology to and ask for their forgiveness. At the same time, you should be willing to forgive people who have wronged you as a way of letting go of past grudges. Another thing you should do, or could do, is to give money to charity. If you can't afford to do that, you can give a little time. such as working in a soup kitchen. You can volunteer to help the less fortunate in any way you like. There's also a ritual that people do to purify themselves called tashlik. You throw breadcrumbs into the sea or a body of water, and the breadcrumbs represent your sins, which you are casting off. You should do this before the holiday, because the actual day of Yom Kippur is reserved for fasting, praying, and reflection. Holiday candles are lit the night before Yom Kippur. Women typically light the holiday candles. If no woman is available, the head of the household will do it. When the holiday ends at sundown, there's usually a big meal to celebrate. It's called a breakfast. It's a nice time for family and friends to get together. It's also nice that it's only once a year. There you have it.
Thank you, Sherry. Now I'm going to be speaking about Maven. One of our Unitarian Universalist values is, our sources, I should say, not our value, but a source is Earth-centered traditions. And contemporary pagans follow the wheel of the year. Four points on that wheel are the summer and winter solstices, and the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. What is the wheel of the year? From ancient times, people around the world have marked seasonal turning points, using them as opportunities to give thanks, reflect on what they've reaped, and prepare for what they will sow next. It's a balancing and nature-aligning way to live life in tune with the rhythm of Earth's life cycles. I think there's a lot of similarities between Rosh Hashanah and the things that Sherry said you do and celebrating Maven. So Maven celebrates the autumnal equinox. It's a celebration of the second harvest, and that's why we brought things for our altar today. Many civilizations have celebrated a harvest festival around the equinox. One example is that in the 1700s, the Bavarians, who are part of present-day Germany, began such a festival that starts the last week of September into October, called Oktoberfest, which some of you may have celebrated. Many cultures see this as a time for giving thanks. It is when farmers know how well their summer crops did, they give thanks for food. The name Maven comes from the Welsh god who is the son of the Earth Mother Goddess and a god of life. Apples may be used in rituals to thank the gods for a bountiful harvest. The apple is a symbol of the fruit harvest. It is a symbol for life, immortality, for healing, renewal, regeneration, and wholeness. It is associated with beauty, long life, and restored youth. For pagans, the apple contains a secret. Cut an apple widthwise and it reveals a star with seeds. Okay. Hopefully you can see what I'm talking about. One of our former members, Rosalind Well, who passed away not too long ago.
I'll be Vanna with the apples.
Okay, thank you. She used to do this for the children, so. The cornucopia or horn of plenty, which I have a couple up here to show you, is another traditional symbol for Maven. You can put
Thank you. Feel free to eat them if you like. They are clean. Here they were. That's a wonderful symbol for the wealth of the harvest. Some might perform rituals to restore balance and harmony in their lives, as the holiday celebrates the day with equal parts of night and day. Others, like us today, set up an altar with symbols of the season, such as apples, squashes, and other seasonal items. And there's generally feasting with family and friends. At the equinox, night and day are of equal rank and perfect equilibrium. Dark and light, masculine and feminine, inner and outer, in balance. But we are also on the cusp of transition in which the year begins to wane and darkness begins to defeat the light. The sun's power is waning. From now on, the nights grow longer and the days are shorter and cooler. The sap of trees returns to the roots deep in the earth, changing from the green of summer to the fire of autumn, the flaming reds, oranges, and gold. The maiden is a celebration, but it's also a time of rest after the labor of harvest. And if you've had gardens, you know what I'm talking about. It's a busy time. In terms of life, it is the moment of reaping what you have sown. Time to look at your hopes and inspirations from spring. Reflect on how they manifested. It is time to complete projects, to clean out, which I'm working on, and to let go of that which is no longer wanted or needed as we prepare for winter, a time of reflection and peace. And it is time to plant seeds of new ideas and hopes, which will be dormant but nourished in the dark until the return of spring. So thank you in joining me by celebrating Maven today. Now, Preston will be talking about the transcendentalists.
Okay, first slide. Today, thanks to centuries of a practice of responsible search for truth and meaning, which is our union fourth principle, we all understand how the orbit of Earth and the tilt of its axis create the seasons. That wasn't always the case. There were religious leaders, shamans, and folklorists who came up with lots of other explanations, but we pretty well understand how this all works now. The autumnal equinox also brings me to reflect on the monarch butterfly and inspires me to meditate on our seventh principle, the respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Through the spring and summer, monarch butterflies follow the emergence of milkweed plants north from Mexico over four successive generations. Each generation lays eggs that hatch into caterpillars that feed on the milkweed plant before forming a chrysalis. In the chrysalis, the monarch dissolves and rearranges its protoplasm into an entirely new organism and emerges as a butterfly to continue its journey north. Around the autumnal equinox, milkweed plants are beginning to die back. And this is when the fifth generation of monarchs hatches, grows, forms a chrysalis, and emerges as a butterfly. But a super generation butterfly, one that migrated thousands of miles to Mexico, where it will overwinter and produce a new generation that will repeat the cycle next summer. How they become the super generation with endurance to fly to Mexico, how they know when and where to go, the fact that they have apparently been doing this for at least tens of thousands of years inspires awe in our natural environment and hope for our future. This contemplation brings me to a very specific date in September between today and the autumnal equinox, which is important to Unitarian Universalists. On September 19th, 1836, Ralph Waldo Emerson and four others gathered in the home of Sophia and George Ripley in Concord, Massachusetts, for a symposium to freely discuss theological and moral subjects. The group was officially known as the Transcendental Club, and they gathered 30 times between 1836 and 1840, and were eventually joined by Henry David Thoreau, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Theodore Parker, Margaret Fuller, and many others. They were part of a theological revolution in which direct observation of the natural world informed a responsible search for truth and meaning beyond the Bible and established religious authorities. They also celebrated what has become the seventh principle of our union faith, which is respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. The discussions and writings of the Transcendental Club were also fundamental to the sixth principle of our modern union faith, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society. So today, on Tuesday, September 19th, let us celebrate the anniversary of the Transcendental Club that laid the foundation for our union faith and our fourth, sixth, and seventh principles. So now we will have a brief meditation, music meditation, followed by matters of the heart, which will be guided by our tech team in the back.
Okay, we've come to that part of our service we call Matters of the Heart, an opportunity for you to share a joy that's lifting you up or a sorrow that's weighing you down with our faith community. So we will bring this time of sharing to a close by singing Spirit of Life. The lyrics will appear on your screen here in just a second.
As we enter into a new year in the Jewish calendar, as we celebrate the harvest season, as we watch the natural world prepare for winter by hibernating, migrating, or going dormant, let us be reminded of our union principles of responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience, and the respect for the web of all existence of which we are a part. As we contemplate the miracle of the metamorphosis and migration of the monarch butterfly, and anxiously anticipate their return next year, let us be open to change by reflecting on a quote from C.S. Lewis. You cannot go on indefinitely being just an ordinary in single day. We must be hatched or go bad. So we extinguish the flame of this chalice, but not its light, which we will keep burning within us through the winter and the darkness, and take with us into the world. Our closing song will be Urge for Going, which was written by Joni Mitchell, and it's sung by Christine Parrott. After that, we'll have announcements by Susan Carroll, followed by a postlude, which will be September, performed by Earth, Moon, and Fire.
Woke up today and found the frost perched on the town. It hovered in a frozen sky, gobbled summer down. When the sun turns traitor cold and shivering trees are standing in a naked row, I get the urge for going. I never seem to go. And I get the urge for going when the meadow grass is a turning brown. Summertime is a falling down. Winter's closing in. I had a boy in the summertime, summer colored skin, and not another one in town my darling's heart could win. But when the leaves fell trembling down and bully winds did rub their faces in the snow, he got the urge for going. Had to let him go. And I get the urge for going when the meadow grass is a turning brown. Summertime is a falling down. Winter's closing in. The warriors of winter give a cold triumphant shout. That stays is dying, and all that lives is getting out. See the geese in chevron flight, flapping and racing on before the snow. They've got the urge for going, they've got the wings to go. When the meadow grasses are turning brown, summertime is a falling down, winter's closing in. blanket to my chin. I lock the vagrant winter out and bolt my wandering in. I'd like to call back summertime and have her stay for just another month or so. Got the urge for going, I guess she'll have to go. And she gets the